Declare the meeting open. Acknowledge the that we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. We respect their elders past and present. Let everyone know that the meeting's being live streamed. The audio will be recorded, kept for public display. I ask elected members if there's any declaration of potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Telfer.
I have a material conflict with Westminster School in that I live about 50 metres away from the border of the school.
All right, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Thank you for letting us know. Can't see anyone else there. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting? Moved Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. Would someone like to receive the communications reports written? Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. Elected member verbal communications. Anyone want to? No, I'll keep going. I suppose it's just worth mentioning that a couple of councillors and myself were still helping the residents with their disagreement about a potential petrol station in Sturt, but there'll be more about that later. Deputations. We have a deputation regarding the coastal walkway. So, Ms. McKenzie, could you introduce that person and let them in, please?
The deputy is from Suzanne Craig. However, I cannot see a Suzanne Craig sitting in the attendees list at the moment. I'm assuming it's under... I'm just going to check with the person who's just raised their hand. I'm assuming that might be them. Oh, whoops, sorry, I put the wrong person up. Hang on. Okay, Susan, is that you?
Mute. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Susan Craig and Mark Simpkin here. Hi.
Hi, how are you going? Do you have a camera available on your...
Yes, we do. Oh, start video. There it is. Right. Now I can see it.
Hi. Great. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Right. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Simpkin, you have 5 minutes to make your point about the coastal walkway. So please go ahead. If you finish early, you will leave some time free for members to ask you any questions. Go ahead.
All right, okay. Thank you very much. Hi, Susan Craig here, and Mark Sinkin, my partner, is joining me. Thank you guys very much for the opportunity to speak with you tonight regarding the proposed extension of the Hallett Cove walkway from Heron Way to Field River. Mark and I, we live at One River Parade, and I have lived here for 26 years, and we actually represent the residents from 1 to 5A River Parade. Could we please note that we, firstly, are not opposing the walkway, but we're here tonight to ensure that we can work together towards an outcome that is of mutual benefit to the community, to council, and also the residents of River Parade. Now, there are two key areas that we hope to address tonight, and Mark will explain them in detail shortly. But first and foremost, we want to ensure that the health, safety and well-being of the residents and our properties is maintained. And secondly, to ensure our privacy is maintained, as the walkway actually runs along our backyard. And for example, one of our windows facing the walkway looks into our bedroom, and the community walking along there could unwittingly peer in, violating our privacy and making it very uncomfortable for everyone. There are aspects of the design that we'd like to address tonight, and Mark can take you through that now.
Okay, thanks. Good evening, and thank you again for the opportunity. As Sue said, we're not opposed to the walkway at all. But just to give you some background, approximately 20 years ago, the boardwalk was at the foot of the dune with no barrier between it and the dune. This section of beach became a destination point for some mischievous individuals who, under the cover of darkness, initiated a series of disturbances that residents endured up and until the boardwalk was washed away, and most particularly, a fence was established, thus signalling that the dune was essentially an area that was out of bounds, and that became a saviour. Anxiety is currently present with the residents with respect of the prospect of the return to those days when there was free access to the dune, which resulted in theft of property, destruction of property, such as bonfires fuelled by residents' furniture, objects thrown onto the property, diminished privacy, threats of assault and actual assault. SAPOL call-outs were regular as their records reveal Code 101 disturbance represented 35.3% of all call-outs and was ranked the number one reason for a call-out in this area at that time. Since then, to August 2018, Code 101 disturbance had fallen to 5.4%, and the residents have since enjoyed the resultant peace and sense of safety and well-being since. We appreciate that the Marion Community Safety Plan states the City of Marion is committed to increasing the level of community safety. The community safety is an important issue of public concern and is a challenge that demands a cooperative response. We stand ready to cooperate with the City of Marion to ensure the development of a mutually satisfying outcome that mitigates a return of those bad old days, mindful of the City of Marion values such as respect, achievement, integrity, and innovation by doing it better this time round. Some design considerations we would appreciate but not be restricted to include preservation of the health, safety, and well-being of the residents of 1 to 5A River Parade, privacy for the users of the walkway. It has been my observation over time that if we happen to be out in our private open space, in view of the public, some people accessing the walkway from Heron Way, upon seeing us, stop, conference, and all too often turn back. This arguably suggests they feel, or they might feel, uncomfortable perceiving or sensing their visibility while they're on their walk. This is not a healthy outcome for the walkers at all. To ensure a line of sight between the users of the walkway and the residents achieve a maximum comfort and privacy for all. This beautiful and raw section of coastline hosts many people who simply choose to sit in their silence, embrace tranquility, photograph, watch sunsets, and simply enjoy the sounds and smells. We encourage a consideration of the walkway design and position to ensure this ambience in every manner is preserved. We are of the view that a solid walkway surface, coloured to blend with the dune, similar to the existing walkway surface in the park, positioned just inside the toe of the dune, sitting upon a complementary constructed armoured rock wall with railing on its eastern side to maintain that sense that the dune remains out of bounds, would be in keeping with the ancient natural feel and aesthetics of this beach, and also protect the dune and its wildlife, prevent a reoccurrence of the disturbing times past, reduce ongoing maintenance requirements and costs, give the walkers a healthy distance from the residents to better ensure each do not develop a sense of intrusion and subsequent discomfort, maximise that sense of privacy for all parties and preserve the ongoing health, safety and wellbeing of the residents. To proceed collaboratively is a choice, and we sincerely stand ready and available to do so during the development phase of the structure. Thank you again for your time, and we hope our message today opens the way for a more assured, mutually beneficial outcome.
Well, thank you to both of you. Sorry, I got the names wrong to begin with, but coping with a few other things at the control panel here. Can I hear first from staff whether there's, what is the appropriate process. I know that we're well on the way to engaging a project manager for the next phase of the repair project. And I presume that there'll be some community consultation in relation to how all of that's done. So is there any clarification that management can offer on the spot about how these sorts of concerns might be taken into account? Mr. Salmon, go ahead.
Thank you, through the Chair. Absolutely. We are currently in the process of engaging a design consultant lead, and we've just appointed a staff member to lead this project as well, and they will be managing that design process right through to construction. And one of the first things they will do is consult with the residents at the site to consider their views on the design.
Thank you. Well, how will we be notified? We all have actually put in our own submissions quite a while back, so you've probably got a lot of documents from all of us and you have our email addresses. Will you be contacting a representative from our street, or how will that happen?
Salmon?
Yeah, through the Chair, exactly. That's what we'll be doing. We have a lot of the details already. For those that we don't, we'll write to those properties.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right, so it's clearly still a work in progress. At the moment, I'm not seeing any questions forthcoming from elected members. Yes, I am. So I'm sure you appreciate that this is really for general information at the council level at this stage, and there's a more detailed local process that Mr. Salmon's described. But Councillor Crossland takes an active interest down there. What was your question, Councillor?
Thank you, Your Worship. My question is again to staff, in when will elected members and even the ward members actually get to see an idea of where the walking trail's going? Because that's the main thing that's causing concern. And the second question was, previously we've been advised that the federal legislation with regards to the hooded plovers prevent any construction at the toe of the dune. I just wondered if that was something we could get an exemption for, or whether that's pretty much fixed.
Who could answer that, Mr. Salmon?
Yeah, thank you. Through the Chair, look, it's still too early to go into that level of detail. We're just putting the design team, we're just about to appoint them. We haven't appointed them yet. We're just finishing the tender assessment, about to appoint, and we've just the lead for this project, the project manager for it, will be starting next Monday. So we're really at the beginning. We need to get those people engaged. Then we'll have a detailed project plan developed, which we can bring to the ward briefings and update members on. And also, we'll start reporting on that through our EM4 major project update that comes every month. And we'll start to look at some of those detailed questions around the hooded plovers.
Well, that's great. And if we, like you say, if we could meet on site, then we can. It's a lot better to show you in person what the issues are. And if we could stay engaged on that, that would be terrific. And certainly prior to any, you know, plans being drawn up, because that would just be, you know, a waste of time and energy if we've got to revisit everything. So if we can have a look at that from the ground up, that'd be amazing.
All right. Thanks for coming along. We'll get on with the next 3 hours of meeting. You're welcome to stay and watch if you want, but you don't need to. In any case, Ms. McKenzie will relegate you, nothing personal, to attendees rather than panelists in Zoom language. And you can watch any further from there if you wish. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Right. Members, we carry on with page 25 regarding the RSL and Vietnam Vets car park and drainage. I've got Councillor Telfer to move the motion.
Yes, I move as per the recommendation. The reason why we held it off a year ago was the asset management plan was going to take 6 months or so. We thought it sat well to be considered in that plan. We've moved forward now. The need is great. The Vietnam Vets came with the understanding that the car park would be sorted out, as RSL as well. So that car park and drainage work needs to come forward. Staff, the mayor, myself have met with RSL and the Vietnam vets twice in the last month and separately to move this forward. So we seek your endorsement. We have seen the plans and heard from RSL and Vietnam vets about layout and what they want. So we've also seen plans to sort the water issues.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak? There's a question, I think, from Councillor Hull. I'll just come in first with a question from the Chair for one of the managers to answer. And it's because we've bandied about the word car park quite a lot, but something that I've come to appreciate through the process is the extent to which it deals with drainage and occasional flooding. So could staff just clarify the extent to which it's dealing with drainage issues? Anyone? Ms. Via Altonetti? You'll need your microphone on, sorry. No, can't hear you. You don't appear to be muted, but maybe it's the headset that's not working or connected. That's better. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yep, cool. Okay.
Now, we heard a buzzing that went off. You have to start again, please. No. We had you for a moment there.
Okay, can you hear me
yes,
now?
Yes, that's very good. Thank okay. you.
Apologies, had some technical issues. Thank you for the question and through the chair. My understanding is this is has been a long-standing issue. I don't have the technical terminology around the stormwater and drainage, but from what I understand, it has been an issue. There is currently a pump there that often actually fails. So what we're looking at is we're actually looking at part of the works to the drainage upgrade is actually facilitating the flow of the drainage heading into the adjoining car park, adjoining reserve, which doesn't require the pump. And there's significant work that needs to be done because of the site and its former use. So a lot of the work, whilst it's a car park, is actually there to address a lot of the drainage issues that are prevalent to the site.
Thank you. Councillor Hull, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question directed to the staff. Given that this is this premise is one of two pokey dens owned by the City of Marion, I'm just wondering whether the staff are aware of any move by that organisation to get rid of poker machines, because this is an expenditure on a car park for a pokey den.
Altonetti?
Yeah, thank you for the question and through the chair. In my conversations, recent conversations, we haven't discussed the pokey scenario. So I'm happy to take that on notice and have that conversation and feed that back to the elected members.
So questions from Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Pryor.
Thank you. Through the chair again to staff. This is a considerable amount of money. Which budget is it actually coming from? And is there a possibility of taking that money from the most appropriate budget, whether it be stormwater or the asset maintenance budget? Because it's not clear to me where the money's coming from or where it should have come from in the first place.
Mr. Barnwell is going to answer.
Yeah.
Sure, Chair, thanks for that question, Councillor Cross. And they said the money for the RSL car park is coming as part of the Capital Works budget. There is money identified each year, sometimes for car parks, but this is a specific project in the Capital Works budget. So it's funded through rates through the Capital Works programme.
All right, Councillor Crossland, did you want another one?
No, I'm happy with that. Thank you, Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Pryde. Question?
Yeah, my question is about the ridiculously large figure which we have in front of us. $700,000 is crazy. I don't know what the system is at the moment, but a pump and sump, we can probably do five times over for that value. So I guess my question is to staff, is this the best use of our money on site? I mean, can we not do something a little bit more reasonable? Because 700K is substantial.
Who would like to answer that?
I'm guessing no one.
I mean, Ms. Vignoltonetti?
I'm happy to try and answer that, and through the chair. I guess we did look at a number of different options, particularly for this site, because we were mindful of the, at this point in time, the value that we've actually allocated towards it. We are looking at ways that we could actually reduce the expenditure. There are a number of complexities around that site and its former use that has made it not a traditional car park works. There's a lot of underground surface work that needs to be. From what I understand, there's a considerable amount of work that we need to sort our land that we need to remove to actually recompact onto the site because of the former land use. Former landfill site. So that's the complexity around this particular site here.
If there's a serious concern, we could possibly, you know, hear further from Mr. Ricketts. He's all over the water side of things, but see how far we can get tonight. Any other questions or anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull?
It's another question. It follows on from Councillor Crossland. I'm not happy with the answer we received as to where the money's going to come from, because in the recommendation, it talks about it being a new initiative in the draft annual business plan for next year, which you could describe it as a capital works program, but there's no obvious budget for that money to come from, and that really wasn't described to us. It was simply described as a capital works program. Well, we know that, but that didn't really answer the question.
Yeah, as I understood it, it's both things at once. It is a new initiative, but it's also, there is actually a capital works budget and it sits in that. But Mr. Barnwell, perhaps you could explain a bit better.
Yeah, just to clarify, there is, as part of the draft budget, which we have, which are bringing forward tonight, there is $7.6 million worth of new initiatives. And the Marion RSL car park fits into that. It is funded by rates. There is some funded by reserves, some funded by grants and reserves, but will form part of the capital works program. But it's funded through rates as part of a new initiative in this year's budget.
All right.
One supplementary, Mr. Mayor, if I may, just one quick
one. Go ahead.
If this money was expended, will it serve to have that site, regardless of who uses it, value added? In other words, from a commercial perspective, the investment that is proposed here, will that actually set the site up to succeed? Will it resolve all the problems on that site in terms of allowing good use of the site for these sort of activities?
I'd like to answer that.
Not just the RSL.
Well, something needs to be done about the drainage, that's clear. And the car park is certainly an improvement. The useful life of the car park, something that might come into the answer. But Mr. Haridis, what can you say?
Through the chair, and thank you, Councillor Hull, for the question. Yes, it will. It will aid in supporting access and egress, along with the drainage issues, along with dealing with really some of the remediation issues, which eventually we would have needed to get to underground. So it will address broader site issues as a result of this investment.
Is that a question that you have? Councillor Valescu.
I'm just a comment on this. I'm commenting in favour. Is that okay, or do I need to wait for someone
else? No, you really don't need to, because I haven't heard anyone speak against at this point.
Okay, I won't comment then.
Is anyone speaking against? Otherwise, we'll put it to a vote. All right, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. So we'll move on to next page. Right, we're starting with the budget stuff. The annual business plan, long-term financial plan. I'll just make two comments initially. One is, I did query whether one needs to recite all of the various policies, as you can see from the recommended motion, but it is actually in the Local Government Act that you're meant to specify the policies that you're relying on. So that's just added another 50 pages to the agenda, but never mind. The other thing is that staff have assured me that with the different points and questions that elected members have raised over the last few days, they have come up with some alternative wording, but I haven't actually seen that. So could I have some guidance from staff about that? Or does that come up later? I'm not sure.
Through the chair, we have drafted some alternate recommendations. Ms. Meritz, if you just want to share your screen with members, then members will be able to see what has been put forward. So that members' feedback has been collated from various people. Can you make it a fraction bigger if possible?
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
I can see one comment straight away there. In relation to Edwardstown Employment Precinct, it's actually the first sentence that I thought was the problem, rather than just the dollar figure, because it's just spin, really. I don't know, it's up to members what they want to do with it. I suppose members I presume that that's new to all of the members, not just myself. Asking Ms. McKenzie?
Yeah, that's correct. This has just been collated over the last couple of days as some feedback has been coming in. We haven't shared it with members yet.
All right. Well, you don't really want us to put it off to July, do you?
Preferably no.
The mayor's joke. Councillor Hull, you've got a point. Councillor Hull, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, have we got a valuation yet? Now, I know it's extraordinary.
We have. I'll just go straight to Mr. Barnwell on that one. Mr. Barnwell?
Sorry, we have updated the land valuations, if that's what you're referring to, Councillor Hall.
It is. I ask now because I know, rightly or wrongly, traditionally, it's dealt with after we set the rate, which is really quite bizarre, but that's the system. So I thought I'd ask now.
Yes, thanks for the question, Councillor Holt. Yes, we have, I think Tori may have emailed out the up-to-date valuation. What we do in the draft, in the agenda, we put in the valuations up to the point where we know them, which is as of last week. And as of yesterday, we take the final valuation from the Valuer General and we insert those numbers into the report, which is report 7 on page 140, which was circulated by Tori this afternoon. So we do have that, and we do, like I say, yes, we do have to adopt these in a certain order.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, is there any substantial variation in valuations? That's just the cut to the chase?
No, it's not. There's no major substantial valuation increase since last week, since the report was went out with the agenda.
All right. Look, from what I can see, those amendments largely match the emails that have come back from Mr. Barnwell and others in answer to members' queries. But I can't, with this screen, I can't see elected members. So just to speak up, Councillor Crossland, I know has got a question.
Yeah, look, I raised the issue regarding the small blurb on Edwardstown Employment Precinct. We're at the initial stages, and to say that we're transforming Edwardstown into a modern business district with all those extra things on there, I think it's probably a bit far-fetched, especially with the funding mentioned. I don't know whether it needs taking out or worded differently. We're definitely looking at initiatives.
Councillor Crossland, sorry to cut in, but that's what I meant with my comment, because I saw your quite valid questioning, but this is the first I've seen of the staff answer of taking out the dollar. What they've done is taken out the fact and left the spin. When, if they took out the spin and left the fact, I don't think there'd be any cause for complaint. So the fact that we are spending $170,000 with a project funded by the intent council and state government, that's actually true. So I can't see any objection to that. That's the first sentence about transforming it into a business wonderland that I thought you might have had some difficulty with.
Yeah, and also is spending $170,000, are we at the point where we want to sink, launch it with that type of figure? I just think we
well, I understand
we're hoping for something better.
As we discussed at the last general council meeting, there needs to be a bit more discussion to really set the direction and scope of the project. So that's going to happen over the next month or so. I note that we were going to bring it up at the Woodlands ward briefing, but that's not done as a meeting as such. So it would be good, Ms. McKenzie, if it was added to the forum in July or anything after sort of mid-July, perhaps. And there's also an urban planning committee meeting which will touch on the issues. But I'd ask staff for clarification about the $170,000, because a substantial part of that comes from a state grant which we've already obtained. So as long as the budget is meant to be transparent and inform people, if we're informing people that in the Edwardstown Employment Precinct we're spending that money and we're not making too much or too little of it, that seems to me absolutely fine. But I'll ask staff to clarify that $170,000, just exactly how it's made up and in a sentence what it's for, please. Mr. Hurries.
Thank you. Am I coming across? There we go. Yes. Thank you, Mayor, for the question. With respect to the $170,000, I will get, I don't have the details at hand, but as we progress this conversation, I've shot a question through to the team, and I'm happy to provide the breakdown so we can get a more accurate reflection for the Edwardstown Employment Precinct section of the annual business plan.
Right. Can I ask any other members if they have any questions about any other aspects?
Your Worship, Tim Gard.
Yes, Councillor Gard, go ahead.
I just had a general question concerning the new residential valuations page, page 128. And it's sort of the old chestnut of, is this to be the year when we actually do take stock to ensure that the Valuer General's office has successfully proceeded or even completed the adjustments that we took to them as being necessary several years ago? They were.
That's quite a good question right there. Let's hear from Mr. Barnwell about that.
Yeah, the Valuer General, the project that they are working on, we were scheduled for next year to actually have that on the ground revaluation project happening within the city of Marion. But we have created Valuer General, because of COVID, they have actually pushed it out a year. So we would actually be the year after next.
Okay. And I do understand from Ms. Dinmore that that our systems will be a bit friendlier for our own investigations if we wanted to spot check in a similar way that I did manually some years ago, so that perhaps that would add value to any discussions that lie ahead with the VG office.
Take that as a comment and appreciate that. Thank you. Any other members have any...
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hull, go ahead.
With the Edwardstown project, more information would be very helpful. For example, I attended the Red House meeting the other night, and they had been contacted to see if they were willing to submit an expression of interest in the Arts Hub, which is a $30,000-$35,000 component of this. And it was a little bit embarrassing that I wasn't across that. Because they turned to me and asked me what it was all about. And tonight we asked questions about what's involved with the $170,000 and crickets. So we do need to have more information. And I agree with Councillor Coslin, $170,000. Mr. Mayor, if we move the Marion RSL there and did the car park, there's $700,000 more that could be spent on that precinct, just to put it in perspective. But I am a supporter of that project, by the way, despite an earlier email that I saw trotting around. It's just I'd like more information about access and egress off South Road.
Okay, I'll let that go. Now, is the answer, I'm asking staff here, is the answer... It's very hard for me to do this while I'm trying to run a meeting, but is the answer looking up the minutes of the last General Council meeting?
Because through the chair, if I may, I've got the response to the Edwardstown component.
Very good. Mr. Haridas, go ahead.
I did just want to confirm the dollars, so it was an accurate reflection. It's $85,000 contributions each from the state government and council that make up that 170, and it is for the greening of Edwardstown, which is effectively a streetscape and tree planting project that was already identified. Without unpacking the rest of the Edwardstown revitalisation, I think you've said it best, Mayor, that the last report really indicated the commencement following some assessment that we've done, and there are some future meetings, both now potentially the forum, but certainly the UPC, to start to unpack in detail what we will be doing moving forward.
So it, I mean, Councillor Hull, I suppose to help you out here, at the Red House meeting or the Art Gallery meeting you attended, you might have said, well, it's not confirmed as far as you know, but perhaps they're just sending out feelers, because really I think that's all it is at the moment. It has enormous potential, but what you see on the screen is, I think, just about all that's confirmed. So I just ask, I suppose the scribe, that reference then to page 35, Should it be, instead of that first bit, should it just be replace with and then leave the bit you've got shaded? Yes, because that is indisputable. And it'll be, you know, over the next few months, we'll develop something which might appear in a report during the financial year, possibly in the next budget. So, Councillor Gard, you've got your hand up.
I'm sorry, just touching the...
Any members have any other points? And I should probably say you might sort of take into account the whole set of reports dealing with the budget, which is this and the following three reports. I mean, because the, and this, I admit this caught me out one year, a few years ago, where I thought that once we adopted this budget, and then we had a discussion about the rates, staff were saying, oh, it's too late to talk about the rates. You've just adopted the budget, which, you know, doesn't make much sense to the general community. But if anyone has any questions, at least, about any of the four reports, like Councillor Gard asked about valuation, last chance before we get into it. All right. Councillor Hull?
A comment, Mr. Mayor, in terms of the bar charts that are on page 137 and 138, 139, can I just say to everybody how rewarding it is to see the improvement as to where Marion's placed. Not only are we in a good spot with all of these bar graphs, the mandatory rebates doesn't surprise me because the bigger the council, the bigger the commitment that they would have. So we're in amongst a bigger group.
Councillor Hull, would you like to move the motion and then you can actually speak in the debate?
Yeah, look, I'll do that, sure.
Okay, then carry on.
To actually achieve a zero rate and see these bar graphs like this, and not only that, hear from the staff, and they're to be congratulated, of the surplus, small surplus we still have that some of us are eyeing off at the moment for good things. This is a very good year in terms of the financial performance of the council. And we're still delivering as well, Mr. Mayor. There's still some good projects coming through that will benefit the community in terms of amenity. And I just think that this is a good place. We might not be able to maintain it, but we're setting ourselves up to not attract scrutiny, as local government often does. We shouldn't be on the radar in terms of those who want to chastise local government for poor performance, and that's a great thing. So happy to move the motion.
That's seconded. Councillor Telfer, go ahead if you wish to speak.
Yeah, I'm pleased that there are so many active projects. Without staff planning and working on all these things, we wouldn't have their positive reaction to the many projects that are going to happen in the next year. I'm very thrilled that we can fit in so many projects. So I recommend it to everybody.
Thank you. Any other speakers, just to make yourself known? Councillor Garr, if you're speaking against, that is.
No, I'm not, Your Worship. So I'll remain silent. If someone else speaks against, I'll then speak up.
Appreciate that.
I have a question.
Is Councillor Pryor.
Yes, the graph on page 139, which is the operational cost per household, I'd like to confirm that we don't have the columns around the right way, because or around the wrong way, because we seem to be decreasing cost per household when everyone else is raising cost per household.
Mr. Arnold would like to answer that one.
Yes, I would, through the chair. I would like to confirm that the columns are in the right order.
Well done, Mr. Barnwell.
a beautifully pitched Dorothy Dixer. Thank you, Councillor Breyer. All right. Well, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Very good. And look, I too would like to add just a note of congratulations. We've got at least three teams working very well together. And that is to say the elected members, the management, and also the many staff who work under their direction. There is a real sense of getting things done, which is now the hallmark of this council, and others around Adelaide see that. So it's another budget where we're really doing sensationally well. If we can do a zero rate rise with no loss of services and a $40 million capital spend, that's pretty sensational. All right, we'll move on to page 140 exactly, which is the adoption of the rate and the valuation. Sorry, adoption of the valuation is the term, I think. And Mr. Barnwell was saying we have a corrected up-to-date figure. So, Mr. Barnwell, do you want to just allude to that first before we get into it?
Yep. Just trying to find those. I think Tori has shared those this afternoon. So the three figures is we update the valuation. We update the valuation on the second recommendation, which is the total land valuation, which is captured, plus the available portion and the exempt portion. I'm just trying to, I don't know, Tori, if you can flick, can you flick up the current figures? I thought I had them printed off. Apologies. Oh, I do, sorry. So just to clarify, the total valuation has increased from 22.597825660 million, or I don't know how you actually pronounce that, to 22,604,322,660.
Sorry, could you just say that more slowly for people who want to know the figure?
Yeah. The initial valuation was 22,597,825,660.
Yeah, what's the new one?
That has increased to 22,604,322,660.
All right.
And the rateable portion has increased from 21,511,626,467 to 21,517,413,467. And the exempt portion has increased from 10,686,199,193 to 10,869,099,193.
There must be a bit of estimating going on because the increases are by slabs with round, you know, round figures. In other words, zeros on the end. Mr. Barnwell, can you add anything to that?
And they would be just valuation figures that have come through in the last week, which may well be round figures from the Valuer General.
A couple of questions. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. It's a question for Mr. Barnwell, if I may. I'm quite keen on the number of properties which are exempt. Now, in this particular resolution, there's no real detail on that. Is there somewhere in our reports that we're putting out which documents exactly what properties are currently exempt and what the reduced rate intake is? I'm particularly interested in an ongoing increase in the number of housing trust properties which are slowly becoming exempt from rates as they transition to different corporations.
Councillor Crossland, before Mr Barnwell answers, I can refer you to the report beginning on page 144, and there's a very good table which is useful in terms of rate rebates on page 148. And, well, that, I'm just saying that goes part of the way to answering that. But Mr Barnwell, what can you tell us about that?
Yes, the rating table on as you mentioned, Mr Mayor, is provides a lot of information in relation to that. There was some information, there's a rate impact analysis provided, which I'm just trying to find if there's any particular reference to those. I can't give you the exact number of properties as such, but there is information there in relation to the mandatory rebates, there's which is on, I'm trying to find.
I think the point I'm trying to make, Mr. Barnwell, is it's not easy even for me to work out how many properties are ex housing SA that we no longer collect rates from and how that is increasing.
Yeah,
not even on the tables I've been referred to.
It probably does need another level of detail if you wanted to explore that. Like, it wouldn't necessarily be in the budget, although clearly it is a, it has a big impact on the budget. That's quite a fair point.
Happy to have it as a question on notice and deal with it next time.
Yeah, we'll take it on notice and for future reports. Just for an indication, on page 133, you will see that there's, of the 40,000, this is in 2019-20, of the 40,912 assessments, there is 2,683 which are SA Housing Trust houses. And then it actually details the Aboriginal Housing Junction Australia housing, which are they will receive 75% rebates. And so there is some form of detail, but I will take that question and in future reports we can give you further information in relation to that.
Yes, Councillor Crossland, you will find that page 133 useful as well. Just for, I suppose, if there are any members of the public watching, there are a few special organisations with discretionary rebates. And I know in the first year that I was here 5 years ago, we had a really extensive discussion and scrutinised them. Since then, we've looked at another one or two. And there's just, they're normal. Most of them are charitable or similar sort of groups, which we wouldn't really want to take anything away from. I did ask a question about one, and there's probably a policy question we can come back to, but that's not necessarily a question for tonight. So can we leave Councillor Crossland's, there's a question on notice to come back in relation to the, I suppose, the changing landscape in terms of increased numbers of properties exempt or with rebates.
Sure. Yep.
Not, I mean, I'm sort of mashing up his words a bit, but if you get the idea. Now, there are a couple of other questions. Councillor Hull, go ahead.
It's a broader question. Page, those figures on page 148 and 149, indicating who is getting those discretionary or mandatory rebates, I should say. Mr. Mayor, a lot of those entities are actually businesses. Unless you actually pay good money, you cannot use those schools or use those nursing homes. And I'm just wondering, if you had a private nursing home, you'd have to pay rates.
What's your question, please?
Well, I'm just wondering, when is the state government going to address this? Because these entities have boards and well-paid boards and they run like a business.
But I think I'll take that as a rhetorical question. You have made your point indeed, and that's a matter for lobbying with state government. Right, does anyone want to move the motion then on page 140? Councillor Masika, thank you. Did you wish to speak to it?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I would like to move up the 2 points which has been provided this afternoon, amendment, and according to the figure which has been said by, stated by Mr. Bermo, I think it's right and just for us before announcing the council rate for 2020-2021, at least to accept this one, and then we move on the way according to the requirements.
Is that seconded, Councillor Hutchinson? Then, if there's no further debate, put that, all those in favour. That's carried unanimously, thank you. So now we turn to the rates declaration. And this is, tell me if I'm wrong, but this is basically where we set the 0% rate rise. So now, Councillor Schilling.
Didn't raise my hand, Your Worship.
Oh, beg your pardon. You were maybe just leaning on it or something. Councillor Hull, go ahead.
Yeah, happy to do that. It's just consistent with what I said earlier, Mr. Mayor. If we don't actually set the rate in the dollar, we can't action this, and happy to move that way.
All right. Is that seconded, Councillor Schilling? Did you wish to speak? Anyone speaking against? Then put that motion, all those in favour. We're unanimous for a zero rate rise. Lovely. All right, page 144, rate rebates. And I made reference to these sort of Councillor Hull referred to the many mandatory rebates. There are also the discretionary rebates listed there. Interesting to read their sort of application forms as well. Who'd like to move? Councillor Bilescu.
Thanks, Your Worship. Look, I am concerned, like Councillor Crossland, about the shift from SA Housing to the housing co-ops and the impact that will have long term, because we do get a fair few properties from Housing SA at the moment at full rates. So, I guess we do have some charities we support and some that we have to. And obviously, this isn't the forum to look at those mandatory rates. So, I'm happy to support it as it is.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull?
Just quickly, Mr. Mayor. When this was first mooted, the problem that Councillor Crosland and Councillor Valescu alluded to, the LGA got involved. And rightly so. And as you might remember, this was for the previous Labor government. They actually entered into an agreement with the LGA to actually address this. And then they reneged on it. And that's a fact. And it's nothing new, Councillor Crosland. It was well and truly anticipated. We thought we had it addressed by negotiation. And then we're let down by the South Australian government.
Right. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. But just in that regard, a question on notice from the Mayor. Since in our discretion, we have decided to support a sports body that owns and operates activities from one of our properties. The question is, and I don't know how easy it is to find this out, but the question is how many properties are owned by non-profit associations who carry out their activities from that property in the Marion Council area? I don't know, we might be able to tell from looking at the rate roll. Anyway, we'll move on to page 159, the shopping trolley story rolls along. Now, I'll ask members if they have any questions. It's quite a detailed report. We're looking, of course, at the community consultation. Any questions from members? Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I just did note that there was a certain amount of pushback from the retailers on responsibility and the expiations, etc., that have been arranged. Do we have any consensus within our management as regard that? Have we come to any better understanding with the retailers, or is there more enlightenment in on that subject?
Who'd like to comment? Councillor Coombs.
Thank you, Councillor. Can everyone hear me okay? Just testing. Yeah. Thank you. Look, we've only had contact with some of the centre owners who own shopping centres who don't control the actual supermarkets themselves. And so we've, in an understanding with them, they're quite supportive of the measures. But as to contact with direct retailers themselves, I've not had any contact with them since our last meeting.
Well, I guess through the chair, my follow-up question would be, do we anticipate issues in that regard? Is there more work that we need to contemplate to get to a better arrangement? Or because obviously trying to enforce these things when in the first instance they may be against the wills of certain parties just makes it that much more difficult. I was just interested to know if there was light at the end of the tunnel in that respect.
Thank you, through the chair. Look, I'm certain we have a phase of implementation for this. We still have a ways to go before this is implemented. And I think if council supports this motion tonight, we'll undertake the next phase of our engagement with these retailers to make sure that we are prepared and they are prepared for this going forward, as well as our community once that's active.
Great, thanks.
Just to be clear, tonight's report comes to us with the results of the community consultation. And two things are clear. One is that the general community, at least a majority, is in favour of this or such a bylaw to do something about the mess of trolleys in the streets. That's clear. It's also clear that the major retailers have raised quite a few policy questions, practical questions, suggestions, etc. So to sort of rephrase Councillor Gard's question, from the retailers, and you can see their responses mainly from about page 197 to 204. Several retailers have their submissions there. The question is, from the retailers' submissions, have staff changed anything in the bylaw?
Thank you, Chair. I might just hand over to Sharon Perrin, our unit manager of community safety, if she's got any more direct comments to add.
No, Your Worship, nothing was changed in the bylaw, but there was a very productive meeting with some key stakeholders, particularly from Westfield, who supported the bylaw and noted that they would work with their retailers because they said they've been trying to have retailers keep their trolleys on their precincts for quite a number of years. But no, nothing. The bylaw that is presented to council tonight is substantially the same bylaw that was presented early on in the process.
Through the chair, I've just remembered one change which council actually actioned on the night was to increase the time from 48 to 72 hours. Mm. So I think that was one thing that was picked up really that was of some concern to some of the retailers. So I think we've given everyone that extra day's grace to action this.
Right. Look, sorry, members, but before we get into it, if I'm allowed three questions, I just want to pick up two points that were made by the retailers. One could go through a lot of it, but one of the suggestions on page 198 was for an offence for a person who doesn't comply with a direction from an authorised officer to return a trolley to a shopping centre and to be able to give them an expiation notice if they don't. So what was the management view of that?
I believe that's still part of the bylaw through the chair, unless any of my staff correct me.
So Woolworths didn't pick that up in writing their submission?
If I may, no, that Mr. Delacombs is correct, but I think the retailers were wanting to make the point that they didn't want to be held solely responsible.
Okay. Look, the other one on page 204, down the bottom, identification of shopping trolleys. This particular company claims that all of their trolleys are marked with their business name, but the addition of an address would be difficult as the trolleys are imported from several different countries and assembled and distributed throughout Australia. So is it an sort of undue imposition on retailers to have to put their address there?
Through the chair, I'll just... Thank you, Mayor. Look, through the chair, I should just also point out that we did go through some of these issues when we did present the community consultation findings. So the community consultation findings are attached tonight as an FYI, but they were the subject of the last report that went up. Tonight is the decision, having previously sent the community consultation in. This is now the decision to make the bylaw. On that particular question, as was answered previously, I think what the answer we gave, which is still the same, is that once this bylaw has been given the green light to push forth, we'll work with those retailers to make sure there is a reasonable outcome and reasonable solution.
All right. So I've had more than a fair say. Dr. Bolescu, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. I think it's important that we actually provide some sort of myth busting and a fact sheet in regards to all these concerns that are out there. Just looking at the feedback that we got originally, I think there might be some misunderstanding and possibly some deliberate mischief as to what will be entailed in this law. So we want out, I think, you know, would it be possible to get that information? And I think also to provide that to the appropriate members of parliament that are deciding the bylaw. I think it's very important that they are aware that some of the issues that will be raised in it, and if provided in an easy format, are not actually the case, because this has overwhelming support, and it would be very, it'd be a shame if it actually, if we were to pass it and push it on to the next level, that it would be undermined by perhaps misunderstanding or fallacy.
What would management say to that, Mr. Delacombs?
Thank you, through the chair. Look, we can definitely provide, I think, even a very simple FAQ that might help to dispel some of the myths. And also, this report does contain a request for a small amount of budget to help with education campaigns. So we can definitely get on to work with that and even put some stuff on our website and update the outcomes of this evening's proceedings.
So, Councillor Masika. Then Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Your Worship. I want to it's a point of advice regarding community information campaign. I know that the administration wants to put information on the website and also print some fact sheets which they'll distribute. But I've taken interest to go around my ward to see who are these people pushing up the trolleys from Castle Plaza back into the streets. And then there are some groups, whether we put on the website or we print up the fact sheets, they will never change their behavior because they will be quite not familiar to the group. We have international students. I don't think whether they're going to go on the website to check what information there regarding the trolleys. And we have people who have been settled under a humanitarian program Well, Anglicare has got so many houses in the Marion Centre, Marion Council. So they are being settled in Marion Council. So they will never go on the website unless we use up a strategy to deal with the landlords who can inform their international students who are coming to rent up the property. And also we can deal with the settlement agencies, which they can inform their the new settlers who are coming up in Marion Council. Otherwise, we can put on the website, we can print up the fact sheets, but you will end up seeing the trolleys back on the street. And I've seen that, I've witnessed who are pushing up on the trolleys. Some of those people were new arrivals.
Councillor Masika, good points. Probably a matter for the debate, but good points for Mr. Della Coombs and his team to take on board, especially with the communication strategy. I'll go straight to Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I want to ask a question of you. Given the struggle we're having with the cap bylaw, with the review committee in there, is there any capacity for that state government committee that might review this? I'm sure there will be a review done before they adopt it or refuse it.
Yes. Yes.
Is there any opportunity for discretion by that review committee to actually say, yes, look, we'll approve the bylaw in terms of individuals taking shopping trolleys and abandoning them, but we will not support the action taken against the Roger Drake or Audi or whatever. Is that a possibility? Just so they don't chuck the baby out with the bathwater.
So, Councillor, any bylaw like this goes to the Legislative Review Committee of the Parliament. So 6 members, different parties. They make a recommendation to the different houses of Parliament. Any member can move a motion of disallowance, and that would be a formal sort of blocking of the bylaw. But getting back to the committee's view, it could either recommend support, in which case you're probably going to have the bylaw go through. Although, bear in mind, the committees are generally in line with the government of the day, and the government of the day does have the numbers in the lower house, almost by definition, but not necessarily in the upper house. So there's that political process. But leaving that one to one side, the committee could recommend, yep, we totally support this bylaw. They could recommend to the Parliament, we are totally against this bylaw. Or they could recommend to the Parliament, we would find this bylaw supportable on condition that something was added or removed or changed. So that goes to your question.
Okay. No, well, I think that it's probably the same people that are dealing with the cap bylaw that will deal with this.
Correct.
So, I'd hate to see it thrown out on a technicality or the lobby group of, you know, Woolworths, Coles, Audi, Roger Drake might, you know.
They don't seem to be as powerful as the cat lobby, but anyway, Mr. Duncan, what did you want to say?
Thank you, Chair. If I might add, if the process was replicated from the LRC as with the cap bylaw, we would actually be provided with that information from the LRC before they consider it. So as we found with the cap bylaw, they sent us some information with some concerns, and we had an opportunity to either provide more information, respond to the request from the LRC before they actually consider it. And so there is that opportunity for council, should we proceed as is and get some feedback, we may have another opportunity, but I'm not sure, Mayor, if that's a usual process or whether that's standard.
Yeah. All right, we've had a good discussion. Would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Hull.
Yeah, very happy to move this, Mr. Mayor, pay tribute to past councillors that would have loved to have actually been involved in something like this. Councillors like Councillor Bowens, Alderman Clem Senior, and many others, David Woodhouse, they would have welcomed the opportunity to have something substantial happen within their council to deal with this, because that's how long it's been around for. And it's not just in the in what was the Central Ward and our Warrakowie Ward. It actually impacts on Castle Plaza, around Castle Plaza, Parkholme, probably even Hallett Cove, to a lesser degree. But it is a problem right across our city. And like the cat bylaw, it actually has state connotations. Because, as you know, there was something like 300 shopping trolleys fished out of the harbour at Port Augusta. You know, it's a statewide issue. And, you know, this is probably the first considerable attempt by local government to try and deal with it in a considered way. And once again, like the cat bylaw preparations, the community have supported us again, overwhelmingly. And, you know, I just think that this is certainly worth a try. Just to be brief, these shopping trolleys actually are a hazard for pedestrians, the visually impaired. They end up on our roads. They end up full of rubbish. Look, I don't have to draw pictures. It's not a small issue. And I urge you to support this bylaw.
Is it seconded? Councillor Gard, you wish to speak?
Your Worship, yeah, very briefly, I think it's a wonderful advancement for our council. We'll probably get some flack from certain sectors, maybe on the detail, maybe not. But Adelaide, I think, would have to be one of the cleanest cities around, and it's a fairly big around. And I think that this really has been a blight on our city. There's one of the most dramatic incidents was in the beautiful area of Glade Crescent, where we've done our new water works, and that is a jewel in the crown of Hallett Cove. But I remember seeing trolleys littering down the hillside there, and it just is gut-wrenching, really. So I think a terrific advancement. Very, very pleased that this council has had the gumption to take it on.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. All right, we'll go on to the prioritisation of federal government stimulus funding, page 215. So it was discussed in a recent forum about what these things might be, and you've got that list presented to you tonight for endorsement. Ideas to spend $1 million. Who'd like to kick off? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I am happy to support the motion with option one as the recommended choice.
Yes, that's the motion as printed. Did you wish to speak to it, Councillor?
No, just as long as it's option one, I don't think I need to say anything.
Thank you. And that is the benefit of having a good discussion at our forum meetings. Sometimes we can just cut to the chase. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak?
Just quickly to say a big thank you to the providers of said funding.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be a few thank you letters sent off in due course. Official openings, photo opportunities, etc. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go on to page 220, Living Ghana Cultural Centre. So rescission and sort of extended time for proposal to 31st of August or otherwise. Councillor Telfer to move.
Yes, and I'm pleased to move this to give Ghana 3 months to get together. They couldn't when some of them had gone to homeland. So that 3 months is not unreasonable. There is still that deadline that they must find a structure within which to work. Otherwise, we will go out to an EOI, but they will be able to also continue to express interest and inform during that process as well.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Wasika? Did you wish to speak? No, anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull speaking against?
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. I certainly don't have any objection to giving them an extension, but this, as was the case last time when I voted on this, I need to point out that I will never support expressions of interest going out for a use other than what it's used for now. And that's why I can't support this motion, for that reason, that it stipulates that if there's no response, then it basically it could be used for the local Macedonian community to meet there or whatever. I don't know who would actually put in an expression of interest. But Mr. Mayor, the Federation funding that we receive from the federal government, that the council actually refused that at one point, by the way, and then the federal government talked them into, reconsidering. It's a reconciliation project. How can you adapt this for any other purpose other than what it was actually built and designed for? So that's why I'm speaking against this, because regardless of the struggle we're having getting the Ghana community to respond, and at the end of the day, this is we never thought it was going to be easy reconciliation. It's not. It takes years, and it takes a bit of commitment, bit of ticker. If we actually are just saying, oh, well, look, after 3 months, it's all over and, we'll have the local Canadian club move in there or whoever, that's just not going to cut it. And I can tell you now that I will support a legal challenge to this because I've got, only today I found the deed that we signed with the federal government. And I will be providing that to the Ghana community. Right,
thank you. That's time. Now, there was a very contentious couple of points raised there about the nature of the EOI. So I'm after Mr. Lyons or someone to clarify. What direction have we set in relation to any possible EOI that would be put out? My understanding was that it would be consistent with advancement of Ghana objectives, whether they have put in a separate proposal or not. Mr. Lyons, what can you tell us about that?
Through the chair, there's a couple of things there, members. The first is that if we did go out to an EOI, an open EOI, then I think all of us would be encouraging the Ghana group to submit an expression of interest, so it doesn't bar them from submitting, and I'd be encouraging them to do that. And secondly, you'll note in the resolution that any successful EOI must include an ongoing partnership with the Ghana people. And I would be extending that to the Friends of Warraparinga in my discussions there as well. So that's an essential for any EOI.
So are you concerned about the legal threat by Councillor Hull?
Mayor, I'm not sure that I need to answer that. I feel fairly confident that I've done the right thing by Ghana over 3 or 4 years. I've helped them out whenever I can, and I'll continue to do so.
Very well. Now, we've had speakers for and against. Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Valescu.
Yeah, look, I think we're looking at the options for the site, and we have had discussions over a long time, and we have held back previously. And we've held back as well quite recently because of what's going on. I don't think it's helpful to misrepresent the situation. I'm concerned that people making a decision are saying that they'll then look at legal action for a decision that they're part of. I think, you know, we really need to see what is genuinely going to assist the running of the centre. And the running of the centre is going to be for the local Indigenous people, for the Kaurna people. And, you know, I didn't hear any of the Kaurna people go on about some other issues that were brought up, which actually were quite divisive. I think it's important for us to, you know, see what's out there. We may find that there's no decent offers, and it won't be the Macedonian club, not because I'm Greek, but it's not actually in the nature of the expressions of interest. So, you know, let's stick to the facts. Let's not alarm people, and let's see if and what comes back. And of course, it's great that members of staff like Tony and others are going to support the local Kaurna people in being part of that EOI.
Anyone else speaking against motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? The mover wished to speak in reply. Councillor Telfer.
Yes. I believe that EOI will be consistent with the advancement of objectives. The group that have come together have been listeners, listening to Kaurna, intending to work with Kaurna, and running in all attempts to get worthwhile activities up. So I believe that during the next process, we will continue to be sensitive and we will continue to work to maximise that site for worthwhile activities, listening to what Kaurna wants.
Thank you, and apologies for that, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously, thank you. The precision is...
That's not true, Mr. Mayor. I did not have the opportunity to vote against.
Very well. That's the... I'm glad you spoke up, because it's difficult.
Sure.
In an electronic meeting, I see a sea of hands going up, and I thought they all had gone up, but I correct that. So I'll call for any votes in the negative. Right, thank you. That's noted. So the motion was carried by majority.
And a division, please.
Division's called. So if you could, all those in favour, please raise your electronic hand. And they are councillors Pryor, Hutchinson, Villescu, Telfer, Duncan, Gard, Schilling, Seeker, Crossland, and Mason. Please put your hands down. So those against, Councillor Hull. And that is the number.
Councillor Clancy wanted to vote in favour. I could see her waving her hand.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I couldn't find the thing.
Oh, sorry. So
sorry.
I was just checking with Ms. Kinsey, and I'm sorry I missed you there, but you're voting in the affirmative. So, Ms. McKenzie, you've got that recorded. So it's 11-1. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, so the motion is passed by majority. Thank you for that.